I just love being in the presence of the Lord with all of you. Just such an amazing thing that you can come week after week and be in his presence. And he's always here. Just the goodness of God. Amen? Amen. Before we go to our tithes and offerings, I wonder, don't go there yet, but we're going to go one more slide over and then come back. I kind of put them in wrong order on purpose. In just one second. So most of you know we did our missions pledge 2 weeks ago, and we're waiting for everybody's to come in. And I think we finally have everyone's. And our pledge for missions this next year, are you ready? Look at that pledge for next year. That's almost $30,000. You know what that's going to do? That's going to put us up and over the $200,000 mark next year for missions. I got a feeling God's doing something in missions this year. Amen? Woo! Praise God for his faithfulness. Yes, and way to go, church family. Amen. That's just amazing. When I was adding it all up, I was like, are you serious? Wow. So way to go, church family. And we are believing all those finances are coming in and they're going to be above our budgets. Amen. It's going to be extra that's coming in that we're faithful with. Amen. All right. So let's do with our tithes and offerings. Okay, but first I have to share, since Steve shared a story about discipline from his dad, I have to share one about mine. So his dad would tell him, that's one. Well, my dad had a better system even than that. My brother and I could be across the room, and if we did something we knew we weren't supposed to do, you could just glance over across the room, and he'd go like this. And we knew, and like your dad, my dad never forgot. You just cringed because you knew if he got to that one, especially at the beginning of an event you were at, you had to be on your best behavior because nobody wanted to see that. Amen. But you know what? I'm grateful for dads that disciplined. Amen. We have a whole generation of kids that have not been disciplined by their dads, and I think that's what we're seeing the results of in their behavior. You know why? Because a child needs to be disciplined. That's how they learn the rules. You know, people say, oh no, we just, you know, they just need to discover on their own. Really? You want your child to discover on their own that you can't go into the street? You want them to learn from that experience? No. No. So that's why you discipline. So I am so grateful for dads and a father-in-law that disciplined. It might have hurt at the time, but you know what? It stuck in your mind, and you didn't repeat that behavior, at least not very often. Amen? Amen? Amen. So thank you, Lord, for strong fathers. Amen. So we are going to Proverbs 29 and verse 18. And our word for this morning, it was funny because I kept thinking about V words, and I'm victory, and I'm like, okay, yeah, but I know there's something, Lord, that you have for us that's a little bit different. And so I was praying about it, and I didn't have anything, and at the wee hours of this morning, I can't even tell you when it was, I saw the word vision, and I was like, why are you telling me vision? And then all of a sudden I realized, oh, that's a V word. I was like, yes, okay. And then there's kind of a play on words that we'll get to here in a minute. But I love how God acknowledges and he confirms himself. So we're listening to EMIC, and if you didn't hear their tithes and offering, I always forget his name. What's the young kid's name? Does anybody remember? What was that? Holden Hanley, that's right. Yes, he was speaking this morning. Good job. And he was sharing on tithes and offerings, and he has an incredible message on tithes and offerings that you got to hear. But part of it was, it hit me that you have to have vision beyond yourself when you're giving. And he was talking about generational blessings that come through giving. Anyway, so it was like this confirmation. I was like, yes, I did hear you right at the wee hours of the morning, whenever that was. So let's look in Proverbs 29:18. This is a very familiar passage of scripture. Where there is no vision, the people cast off restraint. But happy is he who keeps the law. Where there is no vision. Amen? So why do we give? What is the ABCs of tithing? It's because if you don't have a vision, then you're going to perish. You're going to wander. Amen? But there's two, it's like a play on words. There's visions, which would be like a vision of something you want to come. And then there's your actual vision, right? So there's two things here that I felt like the Lord was sharing with us. And when you give your tithes and offering, when you put that in, all of a sudden you have a vision of what the Lord has promised throughout his word when you give your tithes and offerings, right? When you walk out of here, something happens, you say, no, I'm a tither. Why do you say that? Because you have a vision of what that means in your life. And that vision says, oh no, you can't come against me and expect to get away with it. You know, this thing is not going to prosper against me. Oh no, because I am a tither. So you have a vision, a spiritual vision. Also, when you give your tithes, it also creates a vision for the future. And I won't share his whole message. In my mind, I was thinking a vision of things to come. You're sowing your seed as an act of faith of what's to come. But Holden was sharing about how that when you have tithes and offering that you're putting in, you're not just sowing a seed for you. You are sowing a seed for your children's children's children. And a seed that will continue on. He said, your giving goes on way beyond you. So when you're gone, your giving keeps going. You know what that means? That got me so excited. That increased my vision. You know why? Because I have godly heritage. And I know that they were tithers and they were givers. And so you know what? I am a product of that seed. And I will continue to reap what they sowed. Somebody better say hallelujah in this place. Because somewhere back, way back in the back, you may have a relative that was a giver. And Holden was sharing about how his grandfather and grandmother raised him. And he said, my grandfather gave to two different places. He gave to Oral Roberts and he gave to Kenneth Copeland Ministries. And he said, guess where I graduated from? Debt-free. Oral Roberts. What ministry is he working in? Kenneth Copeland Ministries. He said, that's not a coincidence. That is a seed that was sown that he is reaping the harvest of. Amen? So when you sow your seed in Redeemed Church, you're not just sowing it for you, you're sowing it for your children's children's children. Woo! That's exciting. You know what that means? You should start getting the vision of your family being with you here. Catch that vision, right? This is why it's important to tithe, is because we need a vision. If we don't have a vision, we perish. Why? Because there's no hope. If you can't look and see in the supernatural, Lord, I believe this is coming. I can see it coming. Because I'm a tither and a giver, I can see it. If you don't have that hope, what do you have? Nothing. That is what the world deals with, right? That's what they deal with. They amass their wealth for nothing. There is no hope in that. You give your tithes. You are amassing heavenly wealth that will be poured out in your life, but it's going to continue on and on and on and on to generations you may never see. That gets me excited. That's just one part, okay? The next part is vision, okay? And this is important, just as important, that when you tithe, God gives you supernatural vision. You know what that means? That means you're walking through the store, shopping, and you look down. I'm like, does that really say what I think it says? A dollar? A dollar for all that? No way. As I'm piling my cart for the women's conference with stuff for a dollar. I've walked down that aisle a million times, right? But when you are a tither, God gives you spiritual vision to be able to see things that nobody else sees. Because sometimes when something's been sitting there for a long time, people just pass by and pass by and pass by. But I ask the Lord for vision because I want to see the deals. Same thing with the toys that we give away. Do you know we give away so many toys? It's probably thousands and thousands of dollars, but we spend hundreds. Why? because of the vision. I've got my spiritual eyeballs on. Amen? This isn't just for me. This is for all of you in this room. When you are a tither, God can give you supernatural vision. We saw it this past week with my mom. Online looking. Vision. Saw a car. Went in, talked to them, ends up being the car that's in the parking lot. But if you aren't tithing, I don't believe your eyes see what the tither's eyes see. It's part of the promise. Amen? I always think back when Lane was really little. He wanted the, remember the Cars movie first came out, and he wanted the, I always want to call it Flynn Rider, but what was his name? Finn McMissile. He wanted this Finn McMissile, and this certain car was a wall climber, okay? So it was very expensive, but it was remote control, and it could do things like the cartoon guy could, and it would go up the wall, and it was very cool, but it was very expensive. And my kids, we taught them to save their money for stuff that they wanted. Anyway, it was out of his budget, and he kept saying, Mom, I really want it. I'm like, not today, maybe next time. We'll keep praying, keep saving toward it. And he had gone to church the week before, and he had given his tithes. We walked into that store where he had seen it, and it was like 75 or 90% off. It was pennies on the dollar. He was ecstatic. He's like, Mom, I gave my tithes, and look what God did. I've got my Finn McMissile. He was so excited as a little kid, and it was such a joy to my heart. I could have paid for that, but the God had something for him to learn about being a tither, right? Guess how many of those were sitting out? One. Only one, and he found it. Spiritual eyes open. When you are a tither, God gives you vision for the future, and your seed will keep going and keep going. But he also gives you spiritual vision to see the blessings he has for you. Amen? So I don't want you to ever walk into a store again or go online to shop again without seeing yourselves putting on your spiritual glasses. Lord, I'm ready for my X-ray vision that sees the blessing. Because I am a tither. Anybody excited about that this morning? Woo! We tithe because we want vision. Amen? Grab your tithes and offerings this morning. Father, I just praise you and I thank you so much, Lord, for this word that you gave us. I thank you, Lord, that it was literally sent from heaven to remind us, God, that we need to increase our vision. And we do that by being tithers and givers. And we thank you, Father, for eyes to see in the future. We thank you, Father, for the word that we got this morning that our tithes is going to our children's children's children. It's not just for us. They will reap the reward, hallelujah, for generations to come because we are tithers today. And we thank you for the spiritual vision that you give us to see the deals and the discounts and the supernatural things that you have in store for us, Father. The blessings that we cannot contain. And we just thank you, Father, for your faithfulness to your word, that as we sow our seed today, Father, vision is coming into our lives. Vision for our families, vision for our finances, vision for our church, vision for our futures. And we thank you and we praise you in advance for all those visions that are coming to pass in Jesus' name, because we have tithers' rights. And we just praise you, Father, for your faithfulness today. Bless every seed that's sown and bless the sower. And everyone said, amen and amen. Woo! Thank you, Jesus. As they're getting your tithes and offering this morning, I wanted to share again, the month of June, we are doing soul showers. And that is the ministry that is reaching out to the homeless. They had a huge praise report this past week. They got connected with a man who knows exactly how to do the transformation on their van or their bus to make it into a shower operation. So they've been, you know, going out and doing the ministry without the vehicle being ready because they said we're not waiting. And their vision is expanding. They're also looking looking at a building in Longview to be able to bring people into the building and have kind of like a store, a central area where they can come in and get things that they need and be able to have an outreach in the building and a church service. I love Max said, you're going to come in and you're going to hear the word of God first. And then we'll bless you. Amen? So God is stretching their vision. So this month, if you have anything extra you want to sow, it'll be for the whole month of June. We'll be buying items that they need. If you want to buy stuff, any type of hygiene, deodorant, toothbrushes, toothpaste, anything like that. If you want to bring it in, that's great. Or you can just sow your seed and we can help add it with everything else and make the purchase. So God is doing something in soul showers. Thank you, Jesus. Woo!
So let's pray over today's message and we'll get right into it. Father, in Jesus' name, we thank you for giving us eyes to see and ears to hear what your Spirit would say to us today. On this Father's Day, we thank you for being such a faithful, loving Heavenly Father. And our prayer today, Lord, is that everybody in this room and everybody who hears this message later would just feel a sense of your great love and your great acceptance toward them. Hallelujah. And we understand that that doesn't mean that you accept everything Steve ever does. But because Steve accepted Jesus as Lord of his life, I am accepted into the family of God. Hallelujah. And it also means that Steve accepts the correction of his Heavenly Father in any given area, at any given time. And we praise you, Lord, for your great love toward us today. We just receive the love of our Heavenly Father this morning. In Jesus' name. Hallelujah. I'll tell you, the love of God changes everything. Amen. I mean, who wants to worship a God that doesn't love you? The world is lost. Those, you know, engaged in false religions are misled, misguided, and we need to pray for them. Right? And they need to hear the truth. But doctrines of men, the Bible calls them, doctrines of demons, mind control, witchcraft, all these things, God never meant for people to live in bondage to anything. And that's why this message that we've titled The Blessings of Liberty in regards to our nation applies at all levels of life, spiritually first. Amen? Our nation was birthed out of faith in God. Hallelujah. And that's where we're going with this message. So our foundation text, Galatians 5:13, and I need to march because we've got a lot to get through this morning. Amen. It says this, Galatians 5:13, for you, brethren, have been called to liberty. Somebody say, I have been called to liberty. Not bondage. Amen. Only do not use liberty. Somebody say, don't use liberty. There's a lot of people in this nation that are using and abusing liberty. Liberty, the word licentiousness, where it just means I can do whatever I want, whenever I want, to whomever I want, with no consequences, because, well, it's just what I feel like doing. That is the abuse of liberty. With liberty comes responsibility. Hallelujah. Do not use liberty as an opportunity for the flesh, but through love, somebody say through love, serve one another. Every leader in that hears this message or any message preached anywhere today should hear that we are leaders to serve people. Jesus said himself, didn't he? He said, I am among you as one who serves. And being a servant-hearted leader doesn't mean you do whatever people want you to do. Because the first one I'm serving is Jesus. Amen. Glory to his name forevermore. And parenting is a lot like that. You know, sometimes we just want to do things to make our kids happy and appease them, but yet there might be something else that they need that we see in the Word or whatever, and they have to be told later, not now, whatever. You know what I mean? So leadership is serving from a heart of love. Amen. And how many know love doesn't just say yes to everything? Amen. Hallelujah. The first paragraph of our Constitution says this: we the people, somebody say, we the people of the United States, in order to form a more perfect union, establish justice, ensure domestic tranquility, provide for the common defense, promote the general welfare, and secure the blessings of liberty to ourselves and our posterity, do ordain and establish this Constitution for the United States of America. So the decisions that we make today will affect future generations. Hallelujah. And that's really what the heart of all this needs to be about. Amen. Future generations. Liberty is defined as freedom, legitimate or licentious, unrestrained to go at pleasure as a citizen. Don't have much time to review this right now. You can listen online to the past couple of messages to get more on those things. But the word citizen is going to be very important moving forward. Somebody say citizen. I am a citizen. First of all, you're a citizen of the kingdom of heaven. But then we're also citizens, you know, in this room, I believe everybody's a citizen of the U.S., right? Not a slave, whether freeborn or manumitted, exempt from obligation or liability. That word slavery, God is not, never has been into slavery. And I was listening to Rabbi Joseph Shulam yesterday on the Torah portion reading, Numbers, I think first several chapters of Numbers, and he was talking about how every person in, you know, the children of Israel, they all had a job, a task, something they were called to do, you know, in terms of the tribe of Levi and the people that were associated with the tent, the tabernacle of meeting, where there were guys who, you know, a lot of people were assigned to move the wood. Some people were assigned to the fabric of the tent. Some people were assigned to carry the Ark of the Testimony, the Ark of the Covenant. Whenever it was time to move, everybody had a purpose. And he said, you were assigned that purpose from God. So you couldn't get jealous of someone else's purpose or get your mind off of what you're called to do. And his point was, everybody in the household of faith has a divine calling to do something for God. Amen. And that's a big part of what we're going to be focusing on today. But he did say this. He said, so you shouldn't be looking to go do something else, and you know God's called you to do this. He said, except for one thing. He said, if anyone was a slave, because there was a lot of slavery going on. He said, if anyone was a slave, he said, there's, and you have the opportunity to be free. He said, if someone gives you the opportunity to be free, don't see yourself as assigned by God to be a slave. You take that opportunity to be free. Hallelujah. And it made me think of every time we hear a message preached and we see something in the Word that appeals to us. Maybe, you know, someone's enslaved to some addictive lifestyle or substance abuse or depression or poverty. If you hear a message that offers you freedom, for goodness sake, somebody say, take it. Be free, man. Those are blessings of liberty. God did not call anybody to a life of slavery. Somebody say amen. And one thing that David Barton, his ministry, brought out in this, I've been, you know, going through this class, Biblical Citizenship, and it's been just marvelous, amen, through Patriot Academy. Anybody can log on to Patriot Academy and register to take this course on biblical citizenship. There's a lot of people that just do Zoom, and you can follow along, or you can order the DVD set and get a workbook and go through it yourself. But it's a powerful thing. But one of the things that they were sharing in regards to slavery was that the USA, now yes, the USA, we have battle scars. There's things that we did wrong. Nobody has ever said the USA has been perfect. We've had issues over the years. Any group of people in any nation on planet Earth in the entire history of the world has marks, scars, right? But they brought up this fact. Somebody say fact. The United States of America was the first country to sign a law banning the slave trade. Hallelujah. Amen. And he said this, even today, there are still 40 million people enslaved around the world. So slavery has not ended. When you think of the trafficking and all the things, I mean, that's slavery, man. Hallelujah. And so many would act like it's all, you know, white people's fault or white Christian people. No, no, no. It's a spirit of slavery. And that spirit is not welcome in this nation. There was a civil war over this issue in our nation. Hallelujah. Glory to God forevermore. Amen. Somebody say, slavery is not God's plan for anyone. God didn't call anybody to a lifestyle of slavery. Freedom. Well, I want to look particularly for our remaining time together on the biblical citizenship in modern America, the class I've been going through with Rick Green. It's been really interesting because I'm kind of teaching on portions of it as I'm taking it. So I would encourage you, go check it out. There's one, if you search on YouTube, Kirk Cameron, you know, the actor that got born again, Kirk Cameron teaching on the Liberty Man. There is a monument that he had redesigned and rebuilt from our forefathers, and it's called, you know, the Liberty Man. And it's a magnificent teaching. And everything just brings revelation. Hallelujah. But today's specific emphasis is going to be called tending the garden. And that's why, you know, I was thinking it's Father's Day, you know, preach a Father's Day message, of course. Well, how many know this fathers and men ought to be all about this kind of stuff? Amen. About bringing healing to our land. But when I saw the emphasis of this message, tending the garden, and specifically, you know, the biblical reference is Genesis chapter 2, verses 4 through 15. This has to do with, guess what? The first man. This has to do with the first man. It has to do with every man. Really, every person, man or woman, mankind, but we're focusing today on, you know, the men. So Genesis chapter 2, verses 4 through 15. This is where God gives the man his assignment. Amen? And it says this. This is the history of the heavens and the earth when they were created in the day that the Lord God made the earth and the heavens, before any plant of the field was in the earth and before any herb of the field had grown, for the Lord had not caused it to rain on the earth. And there was no man. Somebody say, no man. To till the ground. You see, man has a big partnership responsibility with God. God needed man to till the ground. Hallelujah, right? And then in verse 15, if you jump over there, after God creates the man, right? It says, the Lord God took the man and put him in the Garden of Eden to tend and keep it. He didn't give him a cardboard sign, right, and a little bucket. He didn't give him an easy chair and a remote control. No condemnation, right? He didn't give him a keg of booze or a pack of Marlboros, right? Or a Sports Illustrated swimsuit issue, or, you know, a sports team to root for, all these things that, you know, draw the attention of men. Amen? No, he gave him a job. Tend my garden and keep it. Well, if he was the only one there, who was he keeping it from? How many know there was a serpent? The devil was in existence, right? The man had a purpose, a vision. And this is, you know, a lot came from David Barton, Wall Builders. The three institutions, well, it came from the Word of God, right? And we're going to hear some quotes from various fathers of our faith and things like that. This has been a really enjoyable thing. But the three institutions of government in Scripture are the family, civil government, and the church. They're each individual forms, but not isolated from the other. See, the separation of church and state thing, right? When I think it was Mr. Jackson that coined that word, that was not meant to keep the church out of the government. That was meant to keep the government from controlling the church. Right? So all these spheres, the family, the church, civil government, they're each individual entities, but they overlap each other. Right? And he said, when all are working together, somebody say, work together. Has anyone noticed any of these things working against each other in recent history? Yes, you ought to all be saying yes. Where certain people in leadership point at Christians, point at, how dare you say a family is this? I've had people in recent history, when my kids were little, treat us harshly, and I kind of perceived it, because get your wife and kids out of my way. Hatred toward the nuclear family. How bizarre is that? Well, it's a godless society that hates everything true, everything good, right? But they say this, when all are working together, the outcome will be biblical citizens. Amen? And they said this, even though all three of these spheres, the church, the family, civil government, are their own, you know, categories, man is involved in all three of them. And they're not isolated from each other. Hallelujah. And I love this part. He said, when they're all doing what they're supposed to be doing, you'll get strong Christians, you'll get strong families, and you'll get strong citizens. Man, I'll tell you what, if that didn't just get added to my prayer list this week, you know, sometimes you're wondering what to confess, what to say. Okay, we claim in Jesus' name, where two or more gather together, we claim in the name of Jesus, the United States, we claim strong Christians, strong families, which will produce strong citizens. Has anybody noticed? You can just see the devil's game plan here, right? Attack citizenship, attack the church, attack the family. Eye-opening. Isn't it? But God put the man in the garden to do what? Tend and keep it. And keeping it also means keeping things out of it. Hallelujah. Amen and amen. Ephesians 6, 1 through 4. Is it okay if I read a few Bible verses too? Ephesians 6. Children, obey your parents. Okay, here's the family, right? The family government right here. Children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. It doesn't say, parents, obey your children. Honor your father and mother, which is the first commandment with promise, that it may be well with you and that you may live long on the earth. And you fathers, do not provoke your children to wrath, but bring them up in the training and admonition of the Lord. Somebody say amen. And then I got so many notes here. Romans 13. Romans chapter 13. This one is the civil government. Do you know there's obviously more than one verse that we could look at, but these are a few that they provided for us, and they really bring it home. Romans 13, verse 4. Talking about civil government right now, okay? For he is God's minister to you for good. But if you do evil, be afraid, for he does not bear the sword in vain. For he is God's minister and avenger to execute wrath on him who practices evil. Now that's the way the government is supposed to be. The police, our military, right? They're not supposed to be prosecuting people that disagree with, you know, liberal left-wing rhetoric. They're not supposed to be prosecuting people for protesting an abortion clinic or because they're running for president. Amen, right? This is biblically how it's supposed to be. Amen. And then for the church, back to Ephesians again, chapter 4. These are all just examples of these biblical governments, right? 11 and 12. And he himself gave some to be apostles, some prophets, some evangelists, some pastors and teachers, for the equipping of the saints, for the work of the ministry, for the edifying of the body of Christ, till we all come to the unity of the faith and of the knowledge of the Son of God, to a perfect man, to the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ. Somebody say, tend my garden. Tend my garden and keep it. Hallelujah. Amen. Daniel Webster said this, whatever makes men good Christians makes them good citizens. Genesis 1 and 2 tell us the duty of man is to tend the Lord's garden. And Brother Barton brought up again the seven mountains of cultural engagement, or societal influence. On our YouTube channel right now, thanks to Lacey, those messages are up there. You can go back and listen to them. Lance Wallnow, another great resource, because these things need to really get ingrained into our thinking. When Shelley was talking about vision, these are main things that we also need to be praying about in terms of vision for our lives, because we're all called to tend his garden. Amen? And Brother Barton brought this. He said, the mountains of cultural engagement are the garden. Right? So government, business, family, religion, media, education, entertainment. Somebody say, tend my garden. Brother Barton brought out, he said, up until the late 60s, before a movie was even released, ministry leaders had to agree that it was appropriate before Hollywood would even be able to release a movie. He said, what's the Humphrey Bogart, Frankly, My Dear, I Don't Give a Bleep, that movie, whatever it's called? Gone with the Wind. He said there were like 17 letters that went back and forth because he's going to say the D word. And of course, they approved it. And Brother Barton says, and how far we have come since then. Because, you know why? Because Christians started saying and listening to the lie of the devil, you don't belong in the mountain. You don't belong. You're a Christian. You don't belong in government. You're a Christian. You don't belong in entertainment. Oh, you're a Christian. You don't belong in the media. You're a Christian. You don't belong in education, in business. Hide in your church. Hide in your little house. Somebody say, tend my garden. And like Brother Barton said, he said, okay, how about at least vote? Somebody say, I vote. I pray and I vote. Amen. James Wilson said this. He's one of the signers of the Declaration of Independence, Supreme Court Justice. He was called to the ministry for, he felt he was being led to the ministry. He was preparing for that. And he had his father passed away in Scotland, I think it was. And he went to hell. He had six siblings that he helped his mother with until he felt called to come here and felt drawn to the mountain of, you know, it was law. So I guess it'd be government. Became a Supreme Court justice and a signer of the Declaration of Independence, for a father of this nation, right? And he said this, the great natural law of self-preservation cannot be repealed or superseded by any human institution. The right of the citizens to bear arms in the defense of themselves shall not be questioned. Every man's house is deemed by the law to be his castle. Somebody say, my house is my castle. And the law invests him with the power and places on him the duty. Somebody say duty. Somebody say tend my garden. The law invests in him with the power and places on him the duty of the commanding officer of his house. Somebody say don't blame the government for the mess of the house. Right. Isn't that what Adam did? When God came to Adam and he said, oh, no. It was that woman that you gave me. And Mr. Wilson continues, every man's house is his castle. And if anyone is robbed in it, shall be esteemed his own default and negligence. Says James Wilson. Somebody say, oh my. Yeah. Hallelujah. And isn't that another thing that we're hearing about? Just wanting to come in and take control of your house? Tell you, you know, California is even wanting to put a mechanism in your car that will tax you for every mile you drive. Get out of my car. I'm paying for the fuel for this thing, right? Out, Mr. Newsom. Out, OWT, what, Fred Flintstone. OWT, out. Well, we can't blame Mr. Newsom or Mr. Inslee or Mr. Biden or the Democrats or the sitting on their hands Republicans. We need to point the finger at ourselves and come back to the foundations of our faith and get after it, man. This part came to me this morning. So this is where the Lord wants us to go right now. John 10:10 says this, because see, as men, we cannot defer our responsibility to be the protector, the commander in chief of our castle. We can't defer that to the dog. Or to T-Mobile, or to police department, or to my wife or my kids. No. Somebody say, man up. Hallelujah. John 10:10 says this, the thief does not come except to steal and to kill and to destroy. And Jesus said, I have come that they may have life and that they may have it more abundantly. So we identify who the thief is. Because I believe this starts in the spirit. We don't want to get into fear. You know, we don't need to have Fort Knox at our house. But you have every right to own firearms in this nation. But just don't be doing it in fear. Don't do anything out of fear, man. Right? Because our faith is in God, man. Right? And we know the enemy is the devil. And how many know you can't shoot the devil? But you can with spiritual bullets. Hallelujah. So it's all, somebody say, it's all working together. Strong Christian, strong family, strong citizen. Amen. Jesse Duplantis said this in his broadcast. I had to write it down. It's like, that applies too. He said this, don't sell your liberty for a false sense of peace with your enemy. Somebody say, my liberty is not for sale. Yeah, but you know, we'll just come in and take care of you from cradle to grave. You just do everything we tell you to do. No, that's not the America I know. That's not a strong family. That's not a strong Christian. That's not a strong citizen. We the people, not we the government. Amen? So he said this, don't sell your liberty for a false sense of peace with your enemy. Never submit like a sheep to the wolf. Never submit to religious propaganda, atheistic points of view, and the media controlling the minds of the world. Jesse Duplantis said that. Somebody say amen. Hallelujah. Finally, as we get closer here, I want us to look at Ephesians 6. Somebody say, tend my garden. Keep it. Whose responsibility is it for me to tend the garden? Somebody say, it's my responsibility. Well, here we go. Ephesians 6, verses 10 through 18 says this. Finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might. Put on the whole armor of God, that you may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. For we do not wrestle against the flesh and blood, but against principalities, powers, rulers of darkness of this world, age, against spiritual forces of wickedness in the heavenly places. Therefore, take up the whole armor of God, that you may be able to withstand, and in the evil day, and having done all, to stand. Stand, therefore. Somebody say, stand, therefore. Right? Having girded your waist with truth. That's the truth of God's word, the written word of God. Hallelujah. Having put on the breastplate of righteousness. Having shod your feet with the preparation of the gospel of peace. Somebody say, I'm rooted in the peace of God, right? Above all, taking the shield of faith with which you will be able to quench the fiery darts of the wicked one. And take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God. So whose responsibility is it to make sure Steve has his armor on? Somebody say, Steve's. I have never served in the military. I salute you who have. I know there are men of this room who have, and some have daughters in this room who have, or granddaughters. I have a feeling it's, if I were to join, you know, be accepted in the Marines or the Army or the Navy, Air Force, it'd probably be my responsibility to make sure I'm clothed properly and have my orders and know what I'm supposed to do. Somebody say, stand therefore. Take up the armor of God. Take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God, praying always with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit, being watchful to this end with perseverance and supplication for all the saints. Hallelujah. You know what the devil, what a machine gun sounds like to the devil? Shata ke la ve shito rebebe kala la ve shita la ba ba gi da na la. Woo! Just let him have it. Just let him have it. And don't let up. Don't let up. You're driving, you're on a bus, you're at home, you're grocery shopping. Some crazy thought comes to your mind. Shote ke lave bash. You hear something on the news, in the name of Jesus. That's another one, the name. Somebody say, use the name. Remember back in the 80s, the concern was the button. Mr. Gorbachev, please don't press the button, and then we won't press our button. Somebody say, the name is the button. If he's trying to come in, and it's about your castle, your house, praying it up in the spirit keeps your family strong, will keep the church strong, will keep the nation strong, will see the turn of God happening in our nation, because people are committed to praying in the Holy Ghost and using the name of Jesus and carrying out our orders and not laying down chunks of our armor. Well, yeah, but that sword is heavy, you know. I'll wear the breastplate all right. The shoes are kind of cute. But that sword is just cumbersome. Somebody say, have the sword. Be ready at all times. In that last scripture about praying in the Spirit at all times. Rick Renner calls it the lance of the Spirit, like the Luke threw the javelin. He calls it like a javelin. He said the Roman soldiers had a sword, but they also had this thing like a javelin that they could go way out far beyond where they were. Pray, somebody say, pray much in the Spirit. Hallelujah. Why? Because we're in a war. This isn't the love boat. It's a battleship. It's a battleship. The love boat. My family refuses to watch the love boat. I keep trying. It's like, guys, you guys, I know we've tried. We've watched Chips. We've watched Scarecrow and Mrs. King, A-Team. Can we please watch the love boat? And they're like, no, Dad, no, we won't have it. That's where we draw the line. Okay. Me and Captain Steubing will go on our merry way, I guess, right? So as we close again, Pastor George said this, we have to be strong for others. It's not just about me and mine. Again, I just can't emphasize enough. What they're doing to children is reckless, it's evil, it's disgusting, it's murder, it's everything evil, whatever adjective you want to put on there, it's worse than that. And as the church, we cannot be silent about it. Hallelujah. So what we do, what we're talking about here, bless, it's for them. For little kids, man. Little children. Hallelujah. Amen. Somebody say, be strong for others. Right? And then Billy Burke, I was listening to him this past week, and he said, you can't fight a full-time devil as a part-time Christian. So, thus says some of our generals of the faith, right? Why don't we all stand up? We did it. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Somebody say, I'm a tender of the garden. Man, I do a lot of work in the business world around town. I'm stopping at a lot of people's houses. And man, there's a lot of people out there tending their gardens, bringing life to things, bringing life. Somebody say, I'm called to bring life. The life of God flows to me and through me to a hurting world. I commit my life to being a tender and a keeper of your garden, Father. Lord, we pray for strong Christians, for strong families, for strong citizens. And we take these mountains of societal influence, cultural engagement, business, government, family, religion, media, education, entertainment. We take our own castle, Lord, our family, our bloodline. And the Lord would remind us that your castle is your bloodline. So whether they're living under your roof or not, draw the bloodline in prayer around people you love. It's not a sin for you to spend time praying about people that you love like it's selfish or something. That's a lie of the devil. You apply the blood over them. You speak the name over them. Hallelujah. Just lift your hands and thank him today for his words. Thank you, Abba Father, for the blessings of liberty that flow to us and through us, that word of freedom. We speak the freedom of God over every captive, everyone who's enslaved to anything. That word of freedom would flow to us and through us to others, drawing people to Jesus Christ. And we'll give you all the praise and glory in Jesus' name. Somebody shout amen.